So now I'm going to answer some of the questions on chapter 6. And this is the question answer video number 1 for the chapter number 6, Patience. The first question is, I'm trying to understand something you say in your commentary on stanza 3 on patience. I can see that feelings of hurt can give rise to anger. But are you saying that it is the aversion to feeling hurt that causes anger? If it is the latter, could you kindly say a little more about this? Could you also clarify the way in which Shantideva is using the concept of patience, as I am not sure that I understand this? I think since the stanza number 3, we have talked a lot about this, so maybe this is already answered. So if it is not, then you can ask some more specific questions, and I will answer that, because I think we have talked a lot about this later on in the chapter. The next question is, I realize we are just starting chapter 6, and therefore perhaps it's too early to ask for clarification about whether patience is always the answer to anger. The reason I'm confused stems from early verses in chapter 3, such as 3:29. They dwell within my mind, and that, and at their pleasure injure me. All this I suffer meekly, unresenting. Thus my abject patience all displaced. And 3:43, this shall be my all-consuming passion, filled with rancor. I will wage my war. Defilement of this kind will halt defilement. For this reason it shall not be spurned. I had interpreted these verses as a call to use emotions like disgust, wrath, rancor, and revolt as attitudes to adopt against emergent afflictive emotions. But perhaps it's a matter of discernment, of knowing when to use patience and when to use wrath. I associate patience to the gentleness and forbearance of a long-term approach, whereas wrath and rancor seem more immediate and uncompromising. Please, would you comment? Thank you. Yeah, it is like when you are saying these things, you are not saying that you have to go mad or become, you know, totally kind of out of control and angry. It's just saying that you understand what's going on, what is good for you and what is not good for you, who is your, you know, friend and who is your enemy, what is your friend and what is your enemy, what is the things that is good for you and others in the long run, what is things that are not good for you, and accordingly you treat. It's not saying that you go rampant or, you know, rancor or whatever you use this. It's just to, you know, to kind of to become wiser and understand clearly. It's not becoming too much kind of out of control. And, out of control is always not good. So therefore, that's not, I think, what is recommending. And same is this, you know, when you say patience, it's not also just being, you know, like, I think we talked about this a long way, but really to understand that to keep the hurt, to get angry, to get upset, to is not useful, and you don't see there's any real benefit of that. So therefore, you don't react like that. It's not just that you know, you're kind of holding on to, you know, I cannot be angry. Not that kind of, just only, you know, forbearing. Not just that, not just holding on, because I don't want to or I can't be. It's just that you really deeply understand. I think that's the main understanding. Then the next question is, dear Rinpoche, thank you for this valuable teaching, which I hope will be able to keep in mind in my daily life. And the question is, I have two questions. Firstly, if I suddenly find that I have become angry, is it helpful or necessary to try to find out what has led to the anger in my mind? For instance, hurt, upset, disturbance, or is it best just to let go of the anger? Secondly, when Shantideva speaks of patience, does he mean this capacity to maintain a joyful, peaceful state of mind, refusing to let this be destroyed by hurt and upset feelings? Yeah, I think that is upset. That is true. Of course, when you are angry, there is an, you know, maybe you know a reason why you are upset or angry. Maybe, you know, it's not so clear, but you know, it's not so difficult to find out why you're upset. But just finding that doesn't go. The anger doesn't go because you find why you're upset. It's not, or why you are angry. So therefore, the important thing is, whatever may be the reason, it is best for you that you let go of the anger, because even if you have to deal with the problem, you have to deal with the problem, but not necessarily with the anger. That's the first thing to do. And also, because, you know, you want to have peace of mind, you have a peaceful state of mind, is very important for you, even to solve the problems. So therefore, to maintain the peaceful state of mind becomes an important element in order to even, you know, solve the problem in the right way. So therefore, you know, it's important to do that. So you want to, your mind doesn't, you don't want your mind to be disturbed by hurt and anger and all sorts of feelings, and it doesn't do any good anyway. So that's why first you let go, whatever may be the reason. That's the important thing. And then you know, if there is a reason that you have to deal with, you can deal with. That's no problem. It's not to say that, you know, everybody is right, or you don't get angry doesn't mean that you cannot do anything to solve the problem. That's not what, you have to do something to solve the problem if it is solvable, but that doesn't mean that you have to get angry all the time. Next question is, could you please clarify the difference between anger and hate, as I'm not sure that I understand how it is that you use each of them in a slightly different context. I understand anger just getting angry. Hate is, you know, keeping that anger in me. You know, like, I hate that person means I have a kind of constant, a feeling of a bad feeling towards that person. Constantly I want that person to be bad, to have some bad experience, or I wish bad to that person constantly, and I really wish to hurt him, and I really wish to do something that would make him very, you know, miserable. And that is hate. Anger is just a flaring of, it's the, you know, anger can be of many different levels, but it's not as strong as is hatred. Hatred is also an anger, but hatred is more kind of concentrated and more continuing kind of thing, I think. That's why it's a little bit different. You can be angry, you know, just flare up anger and then finished, and then, you know, you just you don't need to hold on to it. For hate is a kind of a little bit more long term way of looking at. The next question is regarding the object of anger. I'm quite often angry with myself and work with a lot of people for whom themselves simply the main object of their anger. Is it that maybe in a roundabout way I'm still angry with external objects. I think sometimes I am, or both at the same time. And should I apply the same means to work with this as with external objects of anger? Why not? I think sometimes, you know, you are angry with yourself because you expect too much from yourself. And then when those expectations are not fulfilled, you are a little bit upset with yourself. That's, I think, what you mean by angry with myself. So therefore, I think reducing the expectation of yourself is, I think, a good way, because you know, you know, this it's very important to you know, to allow yourself to be what you are, you know. Of course, we should try to become better, but we cannot, you know, expect to be something that we are not. And then getting angry doesn't make it happen like that. So I have to accept what things are, how things are, whether it is something from outside or from inside. You don't usually get angry with things. You get angry with people most of the time, I think. So therefore, you know, it's not to understand that it is not useful. So you to see clearly, actually the main way of patience is to see clearly. That's why, you know, the wisdom that is opposite of anger, you can say, or the wisdom of anger is clarity, discernment. So that's how it is. The next question is, thank you for these great teachings. They are incredibly helpful and I wish everybody will receive them and be able to use them. My question may be out of context, but here it is. Practicing patience or working directly on other emotions, not only anger but and aversion, can be difficult, as we all know. Suffering can have a positive side if we can use it well, but we have seen that often experience of suffering result in closed hearts rather than more compassion and less pride. The common result is the common reaction to pain and suffering is rejection. That we, however, do have the ability and choice to face it and use it for opening the heart rather than closing ourselves even more, seems to indicate something that's not mentioned directly here. Is that bodhicitta, or in other words, compassion, wisdom, blessing due to our devotion, or basic goodness, the basis that we always work from but aren't always aware of? Well, you know, when I suffer, when I have problems, then, you know, there is usually, you know, two ways of looking at it. One is, oh, I suffer, this is so bad, this is so miserable, how can this be, why is it that I'm the one who is suffering, you know, why nobody suffers but me, or something like that, why this has to happen to me all the time, why people has to react like this to me, you know, it's, oh, I'm, you know, the poor guy, you know, something like that. So if you concentrate too much like this on me only, I think it tends to be, then you kind of close yourself, you kind of look at everybody as not your friends, but somebody, you know, causing you pain, or if not causing you pain, not helping me, or, you know, they're indifferent to my problems and pain and things like that. So I kind of distance myself from other. I just, you know, hold myself, close myself up. Another way is, you know, when I suffer and my problems, then I see that, you know, I have a problem, but everybody has problems, and there are lots of people who have much more problems than me and much more suffering than me. So therefore, I feel really bad for people. I feel really that this, you know, it is. I can feel how negative and how painful, how suffering it is. So therefore, I wish that, you know, I could do something about the other people also. At least I can pray that their sufferings be less, or they may not have suffering. What can I do to, you know, to reduce the suffering, not only in me, but everybody else's? And so therefore, you know, when I look, I kind of start to look out and others' sufferings also take into my account. And then also comparatively I find that even if I have this problem, comparatively it is smaller than many others. So therefore, you know, how we look at things is always in comparative way. So therefore, if I can see that my problem is much smaller than many other people's, then I feel even better. You know, I feel that I don't have to be so upset by this, because, you know, it's not that bad after all. You know, it's bad enough, but not that bad. So therefore, it even kind of helps to cheer me up a little bit. So I think this is a very important thing to consider. Because otherwise, you know, that's I think the main reason. Either you kind of concentrate on yourself alone and kind of don't think about others, or you think about other sufferings also and see and try to find out. So then, you know, then it's a different perspective. It's all about perspective, I think. The next question is, patience is clearly beneficial on a very deep level. However, the description of the objects of patience includes situations that, if I responded to in a passively patient way, could lead to one having an unsuccessful worldly life, being a winner or loser on the level of the heart and emotional intelligence, seems can be very different from worldly success. Can one be simultaneously successful in both worldly life and spiritual life? For instance, be successful in and an aggressive business world while developing a wise, patient, and emotionally intelligent heart to its highest level. Why not? I think it can be. I think, of course, you can be. You can be very rich, or you can be successful in the business, or you know, or the worldly venture, and not so successful in the emotional way. You can have lots of emotional problems. That is also possible. It is also possible that you are very successful in your emotional venture, and you don't too much care about the business and all these things. So therefore, you are not really very successful in that, because you know, you didn't really venture in there, or even if you did a little bit, you didn't you know, put all your concentration on that, and therefore did not. That is also possible. But that's also possible that you are quite intelligent in the business, because, you know, how successful you are in the worldly matters, in the business and all these things, is also to do with your clarity of the mind, the calmness of the mind, intelligence, cleverness, and dealing with the people and things like that. So when you, I think, if you are, you know, to have a calm and clear and compassionate state of mind, does not exclude being clear about your mind, clever and knowing what the people want and not want, and what they like and what they don't like, and you know how to approach people. It's different. You can be very clever and still have a very kind heart. So therefore, you know, you can be very successful in business and also can have a very good heart. I think that's very much possible, and that's what we have to develop together. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe, you know, if you are, you know, that's a possibility. And there are lots of people who think that, you know, the peace of mind and you know, your developing your wisdom and compassion is much more important than just kind of have a big business or something like that, and then they might not, you know, really try, or they may not even want to too much, you know, hustle bustle of the business and all these things. That's another matter. But if they want, I think that is not a problem, I think. So this is that's just my idea. I don't know, maybe. That's thank you very much. So this is the question answer number one of the sixth chapter on patience. Thank you very much.